And a very pleasant good morning. We're now at 8:33. Welcome into the live Moberly City Manager's Report, and live in studio with us is City Manager Brian Crane. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing well.
You don't, you've only got half a cup or a third of a cup of coffee left. How are you going to make it through half an hour with us?
I know. I came in half full, and it's going quick.
You think Hall of Famer Brad Boyer could get you another cup of coffee if you needed one?
Man, now that would be service.
Well,
I doubt it.
Let's see if we can do that.
I could just borrow some of your cup. It looks big enough for both of us.
We've only got 52 ounces of diet caffeinated beverage in there. All right. Hey, by the way, if you got a question for Brian, 263-2424 or 800-892-2300. Obviously, Brian, the big topic on people's minds is the golf course.
Yeah.
What's going on moving forward, and why is this important?
Yeah, so we've been going through this process for the last few months when we were notified that Orchland Properties was not going to be operating it next year. And I think their general consensus was either the city's interested in this or we'll just sell it off as a asset, not really as a golf course. So we started having some roundtable discussions, stakeholder meetings over the last few months, trying to gauge if there's any if a golf course is still relevant to our business and corporate community and to our general community. And what we found was, we continue to be a good, attractive location for retirees, for corporate business. Our location in the state, close to Columbia, lends itself to amenities that are beneficial to corporations and also to retirees. And then we heard from the schools that said golf's still very important to our community, even though it might only be, 10 to 20 kids per school that play there. It's really important. And then we also heard from the civic organizations, and I don't think a lot of people think about that, but I think there's over 40 tournaments per year out there that do fundraisers for their local civic organizations, and I think there could be more. And they raise about $5,000 to $10,000 on average for their local organization. And if they didn't have that golf course there, they would struggle trying to find another fundraiser of that caliber that could generate those kind of funds that quickly and that easily. So we started doing that evaluation process. The Parks Board has kind of taken the lead on this. Obviously, if we took it over, it would be a parks and recreation activity for the community. And really what we've seen in the nation and specifically in the state of Missouri is a movement from the private or country club atmosphere golf course to a municipally owned golf course. So it's not uncommon for cities to have golf courses in their portfolio. And this is just another example of that progression towards a municipal owned golf course. And the Park Board's having a meeting tonight where people can come and say if they think it's important or not important. And the Park Board's going to make a decision on if they want to move forward, and then the council will hopefully work with the Park Board and make a determination if they want to move forward for next year's golf season.
I know one of the questions that's been brought up through this process, too, and you weren't afraid to address it during the last meeting, how do you justify this to someone in the city who's not a golfer?
Yeah, it's really hard because a majority of the people don't use that asset. I don't tend to play golf, but I tend to see where there could be a benefit. Is what we hear a lot of. So it's very similar to the airport. We operate and maintain an airport in our community because we know that it's important to our community and to our business and corporate professions. So what we really do is we subsidize an airport because obviously an airport doesn't make money for a community.
Neither does a pool.
So those are projects and programs that we say are important to our community, whether everybody goes to them or not, certain amenities in your community are deemed appropriate to subsidize to provide services to your community. So this is another one of those situations where a majority of the people that are making the decisions about whether we keep a golf course or not probably don't golf and probably will spend very low amounts of time at that golf course, just like they do the airport, aquatic center, skate park, those types of things. So as we go down these roads of programming and services, we always are dealt with that issue of, well, I don't do it, so it can't be important. Well, that's why we try to bring a lot of stakeholders together and get a lot of different opinions before we make decisions instead of just making them based on what we do or don't do.
All right, we've got a question for you, Brian. Let's go to a Moberly line. Hi there, you're on with Brian.
Yeah, I don't know if this should be referred to him, Water Department, or the Advanced Disposal. But I want to know, is it mandatory to get the trash carts?
Yeah, I think
Go ahead.
Well, I want to tell you that we live on a big hill out in kind of on in Homestead, and our driveway is like a ski slope, and we're 73 years old. So it's going to be hard for us to get those things down and especially bring them back up.
Yeah, so the way I've heard it explained to me is that Advanced Services provides for senior citizens a ability to have walk-up service, so they will work with you at getting that cart up and down. So it'll be, you'll see a form, I think, coming out in the next month or two that goes through those services that are provided, and you'll be able to contact them through that form, and they'll set up a program for you where hopefully they can minimize the impact on you getting that cart up and down.
Do we still have to use the blue bags and the white bags?
No. Yeah, no, those are all going away. And then you'll also, in addition to that, you'll be provided a free recycling cart if you wanted to recycle.
Okay, so what is that going to cost?
Here's the good news. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, for most people, depending on your trash volume, your price should go down. But, you know, if you're going with the smaller cart, it's around $13. If you're going with the medium-sized cart, it's around, I want to say, $15 to $16. And if you're going with the largest cart, it's like
$19 and change.
Yeah.
But your base fee on the bill goes away.
Yeah, it's now a cart service. So right now what customers pay is right around $10 per month.
Right. Yeah.
And then you have to buy your bags or a cart. Now you'll just buy a cart, so you won't have that double. You won't
And
have,
when does this start?
I think they're shooting for February. Bob, do you know for sure?
Well, I know the survey is going out, like you said, in about a month, and they want to give Advance 30 to 60 days to get the carts distributed.
Yeah. So
I need to call Advance Disposal and talk to them.
I think in your January utility bill, you'll get a form that will allow you to go through the services, check which ones you want, and then and then that will be the starting point for communication with Advance.
Okay, so wait until I get the form before I contact them.
Yeah, you should have plenty of time.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank
you. We got another phone call coming in. 800 line. Hi there. You're on with Brian.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling about the motel in Moberly that's been closed and the restaurant that was a Mexican restaurant that it's been condemned. Mm-hmm. Do you have any more information on that?
I can tell you that our city attorney and the motel's attorney have been going through their schedule, and I think they've got a hearing set for January. So our condemnation process requires a public hearing before we condemn a property. So they're in the middle of that condemnation process right now. So the city basically went in there and found issues with the structure and with the interior that needed to be addressed. Those were not getting addressed. So we go through a full condemnation process to either fix the problems or demolish the property.
So it's in the hands of the lawyers right now.
Yes, yeah, you got to give you got to give the property owner due process, and so we're in the middle of that due process.
All right, hey, thanks so much for the phone call. Again, if you have a question for Brian, 263-2424 or 800-892-2300. One thing I think we wanted to clarify a little bit too, Brian, and maybe you can go about it this way: how, if the city does decide to purchase a golf course, how would that work? Where would the money come from or not come from?
Yeah, so what currently the Parks and Recreation Department is funded really by three streams. One is user fees. So if you're going to the pool, you pay a fee and you get to use that facility. So there's that funding mechanism. And then we have a half cent sales tax, which is voted on by the people. It's a 10-year sales tax. And then we have a use tax that's a combination of that sales tax. So that's really the way. And then so that's one. So we got those two plus the property tax. So property tax, sales/use tax, and user fees.
All right, let me cut you off right here because I want you to clarify something so people don't hear something they don't need to hear. The projects that were promised when the tax was extended, they're still in place, aren't they?
Yeah, so what we did through this process, we said, okay, 2 years ago we used a budget number for our sales tax that we thought would be generated. So $1.1 million is what we thought would be generated annually for the projects that we envisioned 2 years ago. So anytime there's a new project or something new that we think we want to do or that the Parks and Rec Board thinks is a good idea, we have to go and look at that timeline, look at those projects that we've committed to, and say, is there any additional funds available? And that's what the Parks Board's doing through this process. And we'll make a decision based on whether or not they think they've got money in the park fund to fund this. So how a golf course would operate would be hopefully it sustains on its own, which is user fee supported. Now, we know that's a challenge. We've looked at all the different golf courses around the state. It's a very tough hill to climb. So it usually takes some sort of subsidy. Where we've seen that subsidy in our models come from is through a sales and use tax combination. We think we can do that without dipping into any of that $1.1 million that we committed to spend on other things 2 years ago. So if you hear somebody say, well, you know, the city's priorities are not right. They should be funding X instead of a golf course. Well, if X isn't found in the park fund, we wouldn't use park fund money to fund X. So if somebody says, well, why aren't they fixing that street instead of building a golf or buying a golf course? I don't think the park board would be in favor of using park fund money to build streets. Now, we can ask them, but I think I know the answer already. So a lot of people that are confused about the way municipal finances work, we really operate a few different businesses, and we call them funds. So police and fire are located in the general fund. The park fund operates the park and recreation. We try not to commingle those two because they're supposed to be standalone businesses, standalone funds.
On top of that, there are state statutes that says you can't do it.
Right. So, you know, we're not making a decision on a golf course on whether we're going to buy police officer vehicles or fire department vehicles or buy a golf course. That's just not the way it happens.
Yeah, and the example I gave the other day, that would be like the county commission dissent, and they have not done this. This is me taking an example out of left field.
Right.
They can't take road and bridge money and put it to employee salaries. Right. You can't do the same thing.
And the reason we do that, and the reason we really try not to do that, you know, you talked about the laws, and that's a good enough reason, but we've also made commitments to the people through our sales tax or whatever tax we sold to the people. We said we were going to use this money to do these types of things. So it doesn't make a lot of sense if we're going to go back to the people in a few years to say, oh, well, we told you we're going to do this, but we decided to do that.
All right. Moberly Line, hi there. You're on with Brian.
Yeah. Have you all seen the financial report from the golf course and what is the final price? I haven't heard anything about a price on it yet.
Yeah, we've been given all those documents. We currently are working under a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't provide you a lot of those numbers, but I can tell you that we estimate that it's going to lose about $100,000 a year. So basically the user fees that we think we're going to generate, now we've been very conservative with our numbers. So we've really ratcheted back what we think we can make in revenue. And then we've been very liberal in our estimation on expenses, and we still think we're going to have to come up with about $100,000, $50,000 to $100,000. So we've been going to our corporate communities and saying, will you be willing to support this through either donations or corporate sponsorships? We'd like to try to get $50,000 to $100,000 out of that. And then we estimate that we might need about $50,000 of that excess sales and use tax money to close that gap.
All right, thanks for calling. We got another phone call coming in. Moberly line, hi there.
Hi. There's been some talk around, and we're trying to figure out just how many city residents play golf. They use that course, 800 to 1,000 to a 12 or 13,000 population.
Yeah, I'm not sure on those numbers.
That's the numbers you've got to start getting if you're going to charge us taxes on this. And the sales tax that we approved of didn't include another acquisition.
Yeah, that's why it was important for us to make sure that we could fund everything we said we would and use those sales tax for the additional sales tax and use tax money to use for this golf course. So that's what the park board's going to have to figure out.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, geographically, this area here will not make money unless it's subsidized for a golf course.
Yeah, kind of like pools won't either.
Yeah, an even smaller amount of people use the airport.
But we're serving the community. I thought you were serving the community. It's not serving the community when you're just serving to a small percentage.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're right. That's the same thing.
Will that come to a vote, or do you all decide it?
I think the Parks and Recreation Board will decide it.
And then it would have to go to the city council.
It isn't a part of the Parks and Recreation. The golf course is not.
That's if the city, what I'm saying is if the city of Moberly decides it's going to take over a golf course or buy a golf course, that's a Parks
and Recreation. Even though it's losing money.
That's a Parks and
Recreation. Horseland's one of the best businesses around. If they can't make money on it and they're losing money, that's why they're wanting to get rid of it. That's of it.
Yep. So,
I think y'all ought to rethink this.
So if we were following that logic, do you want us to shut down the pool as well?
Well, there's more people use the pool.
What about the airport?
The airport is subsidized.
Yeah.
Yeah, the airport and the pool.
I think
are...
you need to rethink this. I really do.
Well, it won't be me rethinking it.
Maybe Orson can find a buyer, and then the public can use it at a fee. But as it is, you know, outside of the Moberly city limits, you've got quite a few more golfers, but they're not going to be paying the tax that we're going to be paying.
Well, it's sales tax, and all of our models show that the sales tax that's generated...
You said property tax.
The property tax, we have a property tax in Moberly for parks and recreation, but it's not being allocated towards the golf course. Just the sales tax is. And we know that a sales tax in Moberly, about a third of the money of a sales tax is not from people that live in Moberly. A lot of people that go at Walmart don't live in Moberly.
So he may have been a little bit. So Brian just clarified that for the property tax is not going towards that.
No.
I thought that's what you said.
No, I was just saying in general, our Parks and Recreation Fund, the total funding for it comes from user fees, sales use tax, and the property tax. But for this specific golf course project, we didn't say let's tap into the property tax money. We said, is there any additional sales and use tax money that could be allocated above and beyond what we've already committed to?
Yeah, that's why we want to have these discussions, too, so we can clarify things for people.
Yeah.
All right. Hey,
just benefit a few of the many population of Moberly. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. I think one thing that needs to be brought up, too, if the course does close, what does that do to corporate Moberly, for lack of a better term?
Well, I think what you've heard from our Chamber of Commerce and our economic development people, They've said that when they're attracting businesses or trying to retain businesses, that it's one of the few things that, that companies seem to ask about. Do you have a golf course or do you have a hospital? Those are things that seem to be, or how good's the school district? What's the parks and recreation programs like? Those quality of life things are things that businesses and communities are judged on, whether they have or not. So I think what I've heard in public meetings is a serious concern from our corporate community that says, hey, if we want to try to get white collar jobs in our town or an administrator to come to our town, and he does a review of our town and the first thing he sees in on Google when he Googles us is that we just closed our golf course, that's going to be harder for them to attract people to come and live in Moberly. So those are the types of stories we hear. That's what the park board hears, and that's what they're going to make their determination on, is all these different stakeholders telling us what their opinion is. Then they're going to filter that those opinions and come to a decision on whether or not they think it's a good idea for Moberly to have a golf course in the future.
All right, we need to take a break. Back with more from Brian in just a moment.
It's time to imagine more for your business with smarter financial workflow solutions from Central Bank. We offer a full set of tools and people to make your business run smoother. Cash management and card services, payroll solutions, and loans tailored for you. Central Bank has everything you need to manage more than just your money, so you can get back to imagining even bigger possibilities. To learn more, visit centralbank.net/business. Central Bank, we do business better. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the year with a great vision by having a checkup with Dr. Dan Bordson, your hometown eye doctor. This is Tammy. With the year quickly ending, it's time to use your vision insurance or lose it. Call now, 660-263-3737. That's 660-263-3737. We accept most insurance vision plans. So in the year by beating procrastination, call Dr. Dan Bordson in Moberly today.
Back with the live Moberly City Manager's Report. We got just a handful of moments left, and Brian, again, the meeting's taking place this evening. City Council Park Board joint session at 5, Parks Board meeting at 6, and it's going to be at the Youth Center, isn't it?
Yeah, James Youth Center there at Rothwell Park. Hopefully people that want to speak in favor or opposition to potentially acquiring the golf course and keeping it operational will be able to hopefully come out and speak and tell us what they think.
All right. We're limited on time. Moberly line, hi there. You're on with Brian.
How do we know that Orsland's did their due diligence in trying to sell it or just hoping that the city take it over? Have we looked into that and see if they had actually listed it somewhere?
No. We haven't really looked to see if they've tried to sell it. I mean, I think they've told us that they will sell it. It just probably won't be as a golf course.
Which would just be barren land.
Yeah,
is
so
what
they're
going
to close it down March 1st and sell it if they can get somebody to buy it. We know there's probably not going to be somebody that wants to buy it as a golf course because they won't have the financial resources to keep it going.
All right, we got just a few minutes left. How's the budget looking for the new year?
You know, it's doing really well. Our sales and use tax numbers continue to be strong going into the Christmas season. We hope that you know, it's a good season for us, obviously. The big challenge is still online shopping continues to increase, and our local merchants continue to feel the brunt of that. We really need online sales tax reform in the state of Missouri. The Supreme Court of the United States gave us the option to do that. We're really hoping this legislature in the next year will take that issue on, because it's really been the biggest struggle for this community and for communities all over the state of Missouri when you're based on sales tax and use tax funds. When the population continues to shop online and our local merchants continue to struggle with trying to get people to buy products from them, that's a challenge for us.
Half a minute left. Can that get done this legislative session?
I think it's going to be real complicated. I've seen very few issues that have been given authority in the summertime, and then the next year they get through the process. So I would assume it's going to be a year or two. you know, our sales tax growth has been stunted by online sales. And for most people, I don't think they mind paying a sales tax on online sales because they see it as a convenience. But when you're shopping on those online retailers, none of those funds are generated here in the community or stay in the community.
All right, Brian Crane has joined us today in Quicksland This Morning.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous.